Chapter 23. My mother waited for me inside the front door of her farmhouse.
"Darcy Campbell, you look like a drowned rat. Where in the world have you been? I was so worried. Go get into some dry clothes and then wrap up in an afghan while I get you something hot to drink."
I obediently went to my room, opting for pajamas and a robe, as the long autumn night would soon be closing in. I sat down in the recliner in front of the cold fireplace, draped Mom's green afghan around my shoulders, and closed my numb fingers around the cup of steaming coffee she brought. I wished we had had the chimney repaired. A crackling fire would be welcome now. Jethro jumped up on my lap, turned around twice, and nestled into the afghan. Ah, the comforts of home. Now and then, it was nice to be fussed over. The telephone shrilled in the kitchen, and I heard Mom hurry to answer it. Draining the last drops of coffee, I set the cup on the floor. Rain drummed a lullaby on an overturned flower pot on the back porch. Shutting my eyes, I leaned my head against the soft chair. Jethro's hypnotic purring became the sound of my mixer as I stirred up a chocolate cake in my home in Dallas. Jake came up behind me and put his arms around my shoulders. I smiled. "You aren't helping me get this cake in the oven." But before he could answer, Mom shook my shoulder.
"Darcy, Darcy, are you awake?"
I opened my eyes as Jake and the kitchen in Dallas disappeared.
"I am now, Mom." "That was Sophie on the phone. She was pretty upset about a troubling development."
What about this case wasn't troubling? I set Jethro on the floor and tossed back the afghan. Whatever the information Sophie had, I hoped it was important enough to have interrupted my pleasant dream. Mom poured dry cat food into Jethro's bowl.
"Sophie said that Tom Mott is going ahead with the fence. Remember, he had the post and the wire there in that area near where we ate our lunch on the Inglenook Ranch."
I nodded. "It seems to me that Tom is needling Sophie. If that land is legally hers, she can certainly make him take down the fence."
"Yes, she realizes that, but she will probably have to go to court or at least ask the sheriff to take care of it."
"I think she should file harassment charges," I said.
"She may. He just sounds like a thoroughly disgusting character. He told her that as soon as he marries Charlene and Andrea is declared legally dead, the ranch will be his anyway."
"I'm afraid he'll have to wait 5 more years, unless Andrea's body turns up before then." Mom looked down at Jethro, who had spurned the dry food and was winding figure eights around her ankles. I bent over to stroke his back. "Spoiled cat, I'll have to mix some canned food with the dry." Jethro followed me to the cabinet as I reached in for a can of his favorite food. Mom sighed.
"It's nearly time for our supper, too. How does cornbread and milk sound to you?"
"Perfect."
"Good. And while we eat, you can tell me where you were and how you happened to get soaked to the skin."
I would tell her about getting lost in the woods and being rescued by Jasper, but I knew what her reaction would be. "Darcy Campbell, surely you know better than to go poking around in dark woods where panthers live. What on earth were you thinking?" What, indeed? When my mother and I took on the mystery of the missing Andrea, I had no idea we were opening the door to a whole slew of questions, suspicions, and dangers. But we had taken this assignment and there was no backing out. Somehow, I must discover what happened to Andrea Worth.